Good morning. As mentioned briefly in class, I didn't want to take up the whole time today and talking about it, but it's kind of an elephant in the room. You know, we weren't really getting over the couple of girls. I think it was Evansdale. The memorial, I think, was this week for one of the girls in Cedar Falls, was it? Just hadn't really got over that. And something happened in Portland. Someone in a shopping center goes on a killing spree. And then Friday, we have what we had to endure. You can only feel sorry for the parents and the families and the loved ones. But there was so much of it, I guess it came to the point I didn't want to really look at it anymore. Didn't want to face it. Wanted something to distract you. You didn't get it on TV unless you got on some unusual channel. It was just what everybody was talking about. And as one father put it, and it's a nice way to think about it, was that their youngest child, their daughter, just beat the rest of the family to paradise. A couple questions come to your mind, came to my mind anyway, about why this happened. God allowed it to happen. God allows ugly things to happen. Is the number being converted to Christianity falling short, that he needed more numbers and to be in heaven someday? Definitely, even though this is the type of a child or a young person that hasn't experienced the point of rejecting Jesus. So we know that they will be in heaven. They'll be in paradise until Jesus comes again. Good way for those families to look at it. The only way for those families to look at it, probably. The other aspect I thought of was God just wants us to realize that we haven't got the point yet, that this world is not our home. We're striving for a much better place. Several weeks ago, I guess if you want a topic for my talk, guys, it'd be geography. Just things are happening in the world, especially when the rockets started flying from the Gaza Strip towards Jerusalem. And Jerusalem put on a pretty sophisticated attack back. And ceasefire apparently was finally negotiated, so the rockets aren't firing. It's just that I just had a drawing to the geography, the whole thing. There's just a lot of things that you've been hearing for years, but you just don't sit around with a map or a globe and ponder where all these things are. So this morning we're going to have a little bit of geography. Able to get a projection system someday. I hope to learn how to use it, so it'd be much better than this. But figured out from the two bodies of water there that we're talking about the land in the area of Israel, and what's Israel and what isn't. And to be quite frank, the more I looked, the more puzzled I became on certain areas, maps being up to date. Those of you who are as old as I am probably remember that this wasn't the furthest south border of Israel. This would be the Mount Sinai would be down here, and this is the Sinai that's down here that in our lifetime, if you're my age, that was given back to Egypt. It seemed to be a land maybe they wanted to forget. They're wandering around in those in that area for 40 years with Moses. They didn't think it had much productivity, nothing much to gain for them as a nation. And then there's some of their peace treaties, peace talks with the U.S. trying to negotiate. I think this was the time of Sadat. This land was given back. And it was joked about a lot of times back then of that the Israelites wandered around. They wandered around so far and ended up in a place, the only place in the Mideast that didn't have any oil. Doesn't seem to be much oil here. It was just interesting, though, that just while I was studying this, I heard that there's been some, I usually thought it was always a byproduct of oil, but there was a lot of natural gas found down here, so they may be piping some of this up to what we're going to get into is the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip has the city of Gaza in it, and about the length of it comes up here about the middle of the Dead Sea. The city of Gaza is very northern part of that, and this was an effort for the Israelites to find peace with or have a better peaceful life, is to concentrate some of the Palestinians down in this area, which is the Gaza Strip. And this was the area where the rockets were coming from, and a defense system that the United States helped Israel with was counteracting this rocket attack. Most of them were destroyed in midair, and not too many of them got to where they were hoping they would get. But that's the Gaza Strip. It is a very small area. I think it's maybe about 3.7 miles across here. 3.7, that just barely gets you into Des Moines, doesn't it? And about 7.5 miles down here. So it borders with Egypt, and it's a walled area. The idea is to have a walled area with checkpoints when people might leave that area so they can see what's being smuggled in and smuggled out. And what I've read seemed like this area right here, even though Egypt has promised to try to help with this, there's a lot of tunnels and things like we have from Mexico that are going under that border. Neighborhood of 60 tunnels that someone mentioned where they could get things in that were not to be in there. So you're likely to see the Gaza Strip talked about every day in the news. The Dead Sea, of course, over here. The Dead Sea is about 41 miles long, and at the widest part, it's about 11 miles. So that's a pretty good body of water. The lowest point below sea level that's land would be right here. And this whole area, I saw it was interesting on the maps. I saw it seemed like, around rivers, there's usually valleys. And then along the coastline, there has a tendency to be, sometimes there can be mountains, but most generally, the edges of both their borders were like plains. And I don't want to call these mountains, we call it Mount Olive in the Bible quite often, but they're this is mostly hill country in through here. Obviously Mount Sinai was in the Sinai, which would be down here. Something that always, it's because we got our family name, is from Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon is up in this area. I'd say most of this area is part of is Mount Hermon. The pictures I saw showed two, but they said that Mount Hermon is basically a three-peaked mountain. So I assume there are like three peaks in a row. And this is what's called the Golan Heights. And the Golan Heights is kind of iffy or sketchy because, you know, a three-day war or something can change some of these boundary lines. And Golan Heights is no exception for changing boundary lines. This would be Syria here. This would be Jordan here. And I think Jordan goes up to about the base of the Sea of Galilee. And Sea of Galilee is has the River Jordan coming into it. And apparently when it gets so high, it flows on down to the lowest point on Earth, being the Dead Sea, also called the Salt Sea. And it's just kind of puzzling, you know, unless you read the history of it, understanding the weather and so forth, why this just doesn't get bigger and bigger. There's times a year where the Jordan River will be, you know, higher and much more volume of water. But primarily this the greatest supplier of this whole area is the snow and everything that falls up in Mount Hermon up in the top part. If it wasn't for that, there wouldn't be much of a Sea of Galilee, and there wouldn't be water in here. I think I read where there was a difference between in the middle, in the top and the bottom of the Dead Sea, maybe 4 inches would be max the amount of rain they would get, precipitation in the northern part, but in that 40 miles there would be a variation of 2 inches to 4 inches up above. And so the rest of the volume of water is coming down, and you're going to see a lot of salt on your coastline of the Dead Sea. And Sea of Galilee is always kind of was amazing to me because I heard that a storm could come up very quickly. And the Sea of Galilee, if I had my dimensions, we're talking about 21 miles from the top of the Sea of Galilee to the bottom, and I think about 13. 13 at the widest part. So 21 by 13 would be the Sea of Galilee. And the biblical history of the thoughts, the importance of this is we understand that primarily most of Jesus' ministry was in this Sea of Galilee area. He came down to Jerusalem. He was, you know, up and down from Nazareth. Nazareth is over here. And, yeah, I said that right. I was thinking of Bethlehem, where he's born. But Nazareth is in this area. And it's also called, beside the Sea of Galilee, I think it's called the Sea of Tiberias. And then there's a hard-to-pronounce... I don't think I wrote it down. But this sea has at least three different names. And the point of being why they would call it Sea of Tiberias is the city of Tiberias is on the border or on the edge of this sea. And so... they call that area the Sea of Tiberias. And there's other cities, too, that would call it the Sea of whatever the name they were. But most of us call it the Sea of Galilee. And the stories, you know, especially with Jesus, how it could get rough. And there'd be, you know, definite unusualness about this being the second lowest lake in the world, the sea level, this being the lowest and this next to it. And apparently it's fairly consistent in its circumference or its area because it's being fed. The snow has said, like our, I'm not sure, when we were up there in August on Pikes Peak, there was still snow. I think that's pretty typical for snow to be on Pikes Peak year-round, even a little bit of it anyway. And that's the way it is with Mount Hermon. And it's... been turned into a ski resort. Most of the partiers or the revelers will go for activities. They'll go to Mount Hermon and they ski. And it was interesting. I doubt if it's going to materialize, but Syria has, this Golan Heights is two-thirds Israel controls. There's a UN buffer zone, and there's a third that and I assume it's still Mount Hermon, that's out here that Syria has control of, and their plan was to develop a ski resort there. But I think we mostly know from the news that Syria has many other things to focus its attention on rather than to build a ski resort. Most of this is just history and geography. I think it's interesting if we picture, the children of Israel being in the Sinai, but then they come up, and where do they cross? They cross between the top of the Dead Sea, and Jericho would be a little bit to the north of that. And so they cross there. And I also think it's interesting, is while we're talking about borders, it reminds me of my days at AE. We used to say that when they put a wall up, they should put it on rollers, because it seemed like every time they'd put a wall up, in a year or so, they were tearing that wall up, tearing that wall down, and moving it. Well, as you remember, when the children of Israel came up, some of them were happy with the land that was on this side of the Jordan River. And what was the condition that they could have that land? It's kind of like a change in plans that God allowed. What was the deal? If they wanted that land, okay, but have to cross the Jordan, the rest of them, and what were they supposed to do? Because this is basically the purpose of this story is, they were to get rid of all the inhabitants of the Canaanites, the Palestinians, whatever you want to call them. If they weren't Israelites, they were to be chased out. We've got an area just south of, Jerusalem is basically right across here. I was told black was what works. About just a portion down, we get let's see, how far does that one go? About halfway through the Salt Sea. Okay, what do you suppose we call this? This area I just drew. Okay, it's the West Bank. And much like the Gaza Strip, it's been areas that have been kind of designated for, to separate. We don't get along well with one another, so Palestinians get in this area, and Palestinians get in that area. And there'd probably be other areas they'd like too, but concentrate, put these people here so it's easier to watch them, and probably an Israel site, and it's easier to let. The idea is to for both people to have their land so they can have something they can call their own. But they were promised more land even when Joshua took them into Israel. If they'd go in and clear out all those people. But basically, because they didn't do what God asked them to do, they did pretty good with Jericho, and they started having sin so in the camp. And so right after Jericho, things kind of started crumbling a little bit, and they ended up not chasing all these, the Hittites, the Hivites, all these people that were the Palestinians. They didn't chase them out of the land. So they have to contend with what's left. And so that's the reason today they have a Gaza Strip that's occasionally when they want to fire rockets at them. They have a West Bank that they can't trust. And why the little indention here for Jerusalem? Because everybody wants a piece of Jerusalem, don't they? Tel Aviv would be up in here, and probably most of the financial center of Israel is in that area. But we're gonna lose Jericho in this area, and we're going to lose the birthplace of Jesus in this area, because it's a little south of Jerusalem. And some of the other cities didn't seem to be so biblically related. But I'm sure Jesus spent time here. Not just up here where he did the miracles and much of his ministry. But we see him primarily there. We find the other cities in Israel more in the letters by the disciples. So we have probably fights over here on water with potentially even with Jordan on who gets the water, because water is gold to some people. And so Jordan has their opportunities to get water here, but Syria and other places aren't getting that water. It's coming most of it drains to the Jordan. Some of it would drain into Syria through here. This peak here, we'd have Jordan clear down until we get into Saudi Arabia here, and we have a little sea access here into the Red Sea at the very tip. They didn't give their access to the sea away when they gave the Sinai, but the Red Sea comes out like this, and then the really for bigger ships they would have to go on down and find a bigger sea to get connected with the rest of the main world. This is my lesson this morning. I just, most of this is not essential to our salvation. But the thought is that we are very fortunate, even if we are in a land where someone can walk into a school and do what was done, we're still pretty thankful that we don't have the rockets possibly coming our way, and we don't have to live with maybe our mistakes that they did as a people, like they did. I mean, hopefully we'll make good decisions in our life, and we won't have to live with the repercussions of what we've done. But because of a people, they didn't follow through on what God wanted them to do, they're paying the price today, and we are too. Financially, and we have terrorism in our country. I think Aubrey posted a comment, that's why she would be homeschooling, but I'm not dissing your idea, Aubrey. I appreciate your comments, but we could face someday of somebody coming into this congregation, and we can always do something different. We can always hide out in smaller groups, and we just can't realize, as bad as things seem to be in this world, how great we still have it. And no one has, and hopefully never will, come in and bother us from worshiping God as we'd like to. We give you an opportunity this morning as we sing the song that Mike has selected. If you never become a Christian, come forward and be washed of your sin, have your sins washed away, and be like those little children that will be in paradise just because they weren't old enough to be accountable for their lives. If you'd like to place a membership, or this congregation can do something for you, come forward and let us help you in any way we can.